We're doing the Ein Yaakov and Berachot. We left off the bottom of page Samach Amud Aleph in the standard Ein Yaakov. The focus had been the words of Chana. The Gemara had said, look at how many halachos we could learn from Chana. And if you recall, the story was that Chana was embittered over not having a child. She walked into Shiloh to where the Mishkan was. Eli saw her moving her lips. He thought she was drunk. He said, remove the wine from upon you. She said, no, I'm not drunk. No, my master, I'm not drunk. But I'm embittered because I don't have children. So he blesses her and wishes her that her request should be accepted before Hashem. So we'll review where we left off last week. We'll review, I guess, from the first white line on Samach Amud Aleph. Vatan Chana v'tomar lo adoni. Chana replied. Chana raised her voice and said, no, my master. He said, till when will you walk into the temple drunk? She said, no, my master. Amaru lavitem Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina. Ula said, or some say it was Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Chanina said, amrale lo adonata v'davar ze. She said, when it comes to this, you're not a master. You misunderstood. V'lo roach hakodesh ro'a alecha. Nor does the Holy Spirit rest upon you. Shata choshedani badavar hazeh. That you suspect me of this. You suspect me of walking into your drunk. Ika da'amri hachi amale. Some say this is what she told him. Lo adon ata lo ika shchina v'ruach hakodesh gabach. You're no master, nor is the Holy Spirit, nor is God with you. Shedantani lekaf chova, for you judged me unfavorably. V'lo dantani lekaf zchut, and you didn't judge me favorably. Milo yadata di'ishak shat ruach anochi. Don't you know that I'm a woman of an embittered spirit? I haven't drunk any wine or beer. I haven't drank anything that's intoxicating. So why'd you bother telling him all of this? From here we derive that if someone suspects a person of doing something wrong, and really he's done nothing wrong, he should explain to him, I've done nothing wrong. A person shouldn't walk away and say, well, I have a strong enough ego, I don't mind if he thinks I did something wrong. From here we learn that a person is supposed to correct people if they think he did something wrong. Chana takes the time to tell Eli, no, I've done nothing wrong, I am not drunk. Al titen et amatcha lifnei bat Belial. Don't think me to be a person who does not have the yoke of heaven upon them. Remember, a minute ago we learned this term, Belial, without the yoke of heaven. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar taught, mikan la shikor shemitpalel. From here we derive that if a person prays while being drunk, kilo veda vadat kochavim, it's as though he served idols. Here she refers to it as being without the yoke of heaven. She says, don't consider me without the yoke of heaven that I would pray while being drunk. And it says over there, people without the yoke of heaven went out from amongst you to convince other people to serve idols. So we see, just like over there, it's a reference to idol worship. Afkan, so too over here, avodat kochavim, it means that a person who would pray while being drunk, it's like he serve idols. Yes, sir.
Yeah. How do we derive that from that situation? See, the words are said. If someone comes and prays drunk, we say it's like serving idols. But where in this whole thing did that come from?
She was praying.
Yeah.
She entered the place of prayer, Shiloh. And he suspected her of doing it while being drunk. She said, don't consider me Belial. She said, don't consider me Belial. That's how the prophet worded it. Belial means without the yoke of heaven. When the Torah describes idol, people convincing others to do idol worship, it calls them people who are Belial. People who serve idols are Belial. So we say, she said, don't consider me Belial. Don't consider me to have come in here to pray drunk. And that would be that I was Belial. Don't think that of me. From here we derive that had she done that, had she come in to pray while being drunk, that would be considered Belial. What does Belial mean? Well, when people are trying to convince others to do idol worship, that's called Belial. Those people who serve idols and try to convince others. Vayan Eli vayomer lechi l'shalom. Eli responded, Eli raised his voice and said, go in peace. From here we derive that if someone suspects someone else of doing something that they really have not done wrong, that he has to appease them. Not only that, but he must bless him. As the verse says, and God shall fulfill your request. You've prayed before God to have a child. God should fulfill that request. He blessed her. And from here we derive that if someone suspects someone else of doing something wrong, and they were in fact wrong in suspecting them, they should bless them. And I think parents have to apply this as well. Parents are sometimes hesitant to admit that they were wrong. And a parent has to be honest with their child. Parent should try not to be wrong. Our job as parents is to be right. But when we are wrong, we should admit it. And then if a parent suspected a child wrongfully, they owe the child that same blessing. And it's not defined what the blessing should be. Whatever you choose, you should bless the child. But he's no less than anyone else. Okay, we turn the page. Now we're up to Samech Amud Beis, page 120 in the standard Ein Yaakov's. You guys don't have copies. So for next week we'll have to make photocopies. Sorry, I didn't know we were up to the last page. Okay. So next week, Bezrat Hashem. I don't think it's worth taking the time now. Okay. So this will be true Torah Shebal Peh. Amar Rabbi Eliezer. Miyom Shebara Kadosh Baruch Hu Tolamo. Rabbi Eliezer said, from the day God created His world, Lo haya adam shekra'o la'kadosh baruch hu tzeva'ot. There was no man, no human being who called God tzeva'ot, meaning God who controls armies. Ad shebata Chana, till Chana came along, ukrato, and she called God, she called him Hashem, tzeva'ot, who controls armies. What does that mean? What was she saying when she said to God, you're God who controls armies? Amira Chana, Chana said, Lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, before God, Ribono Shel Olam, Master of the World. The Gemara over here is trying to understand, why did she use this term? After she used it, we find throughout Tanakh, God is called Hashem Tzvaot, God who controls multitudes of armies. But why did she use that terminology? So the Gemara says, she was making a claim when she used that term. She said, Mikol tziv'ei tziva'ot shebarata. From all the armies and armies that you created, be'olamcha, within your world. Kashe be'einecha, is it difficult in your eyes, liten li, to give me, ben echad, one child? God, I'm barren, I have no children. When she refers to God and calls him Hashem Tzivaot, God who has multitudes of armies, she was saying, among all your multitudes of armies, is it difficult for you to give me one child? Mashal lema daval dome, an allegory, what is this similar to? Lemelech basal vadam, a king of flesh and blood, shasa seuda le'avadav, he made a great feast for his servants. Ba mi'echad, along came one pauper, v'amad al ha'petach. He stood by the entrance. There's this whole feast going on, and the pauper comes to the entrance. Amar lahem, the pauper said to them, tenu li perusa achat, give me please one slice of bread. Ve'lo ishgichu alav, and no one took note of that pauper. Dachak v'nichnas etzel ha'melech, he pushed his way till he came in before the king. Amar lo, he said to the king, Adoni HaMelech, my master the king, Mikol Suda she'asita, from all this great feast that you have made, Kashe be'inecha, is it difficult in your eyes, Liteni perusa achat be'ineim, to give me one slice of bread among everyone here? So that's what Chana was saying. When she called God, Hashem Tzivaot, she was saying, God, look at this fantastic world you created. So many people, so many armies, so many creations. Is it so difficult to give me one? I'm asking for one child. Chana says to Hashem, Im ra'o tir'eh, if see, you shall see the affliction of your maid. Why does she use this double terminology? Im ra'o tir'e. If see, you shall see. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar taught, Amira Chana lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chana said in her prayer before God, Im ra'o, Ribono Shel Olam, she said, Master of the world, Im ra'o, if you'll take note, if you'll look at my affliction, mutav, fine. The im lav, and if you don't take note of me, tir'e, you're still going to see what I'm going to do. You gave a mitzvah in your Torah, and you said that if a husband suspects his wife of being immodest, going cheating on him with other men, the husband may tell her, I warn you, do not be alone with so-and-so. There's a parsha of Sota in the Torah. If a husband suspects his wife is cheating on him, he may tell her, I hereby warn you, do not be alone with Mr. Abraham. Now, if we have witnesses that after his warning she was alone with Mr. Abraham, he takes her up to the temple, and the kohen asks her, lady, did you do anything wrong when you were alone with him? And she says, no. He says, look, I'm warning you. You have a chance now. You could renege. You could say, I've done something improper and you won't die. He'll divorce you, but you'll continue to live. People make mistakes in their life. You don't have to die over this. The woman says, no, I maintain my innocence. The kohen tells her, look, think it over. Big people have made mistakes in their lives. Think it over. Maybe you did something wrong. Maybe, you know, neighbors can seduce. Neighbors can convince. Maybe you were intoxicated. Maybe something did happen. The woman says, no, I did nothing wrong. The kohen says, fine, if you're insistent, we're going to prepare these waters for you. But you should know that if you ever cheated on your husband, even if it wasn't that time, when you drink those waters, when you drink those waters, God gets into the picture, because we erase God's name into those waters. We erase the whole parsha of Sota, where the Torah describes this procession into the waters. Part of it is God's name. And after you drink those waters, if you've cheated on your husband, your stomach's going to explode. You're going to die. And if you didn't cheat, well, then don't give in. You stick to your guns, because then you'll be blessed. You'll have a beautiful child. So Hannah says to God, look, if you'll see my prayer, good, fine. The imlav, and if you don't accept my prayer, tiret, you shall see. That's why she used the double terminology. She said, God, if see, you shall see. She was saying, if you'll take note of my prayer, good. And if not, you shall see. Eilech, I will go, v'estatir b'fnei Elkanah bali. I'll go into seclusion with a guy in front of Elkanah, my husband, v'yekanebi. And he'll tell me, I'm warning you, don't go alone with that man again. And then I will. V'yashkeni mei sota. And then he'll bring me up to the temple, give me the sota waters to drink, in accordance with the mitzvah of the Torah. Then atah oseh toratcha plaster. You're not going to make your Torah pliable, that you could just switch it around. You promised in your Torah that if I was clean, you'll bless me with a child. Sheneemar, as the verse says, v'nikita v'nizre'a zara. The woman, if she's clean, she will be planted with the seed. God will bless her with a child. So she said to God, either accept my prayer, or I'm going to play a halachic trick to ensure that you'll have to give me a child. Now the truth is that there's a machlokes, whether that's the understanding of the verses. One understanding says that this is the understanding. If she was clean, she'll merit to have a child. The other understanding says, nah, if that's the understanding, the Talmud says in Sota, there's a whole tractate Sota. The other understanding says, then every woman like Chana, every woman that has a fertility issue will play this game. That can't be what the Torah is promising, because logically it doesn't work. The second a woman sees she's married 2 or 3 years, she's not having kids, every woman would play this trick. Can't be that's what the Torah is promising. So the other opinion says, no, what it means is that if ordinarily when she had kids, her deliveries were painful, then her deliveries will be easier. If ordinarily she was having children that were smaller, she'll have normal sized. If she had long children, she'll have regular sized children. What the Torah means that she'll be planted with a seed is that God will bless her future pregnancies. But not that God is promising her that she'll get pregnant because of this. Because that can't be that the Torah would give such a promise. So the Gemara says this understanding that Hannah used this double terminology as a threat, so to speak. God, give me my prayer or else I'm going to do this. Hanicha, this works. This is pleasant. Like Noah, Hanicha. This explanation works. Lemanda Amar, according to the opinion that understands the verse to teach us, imayeta kara nifkedet, that if she was a barren woman, then God will give her children, shapir. Then the Gemara works, this understanding. Ela lemanda Amar, but according to the understanding, that what the Torah means when the Torah says she will be planted with the seed from God, is that the seed she will be planted will be godly, in that if her deliveries were very painful, yoledet, she will deliver berevach, more easily. If she was giving birth nekevot and she only had daughters, yoledet zecharim, she'll have boys. Kitzarim, if she had short children, yoledet arukim, she'll have longer children. Shechorim, yoledet levanim, if her children were darker, she'll have lighter skinned children. So then, ma'ika lemeimar. In that case, then what was Hannah saying? And we'll skip a long parenthesis, which basically summarizes this argument that we quoted. So, why does Hannah tell God, if see, you shall see? Answers the Gemara, Dibera Torah kilshon bnei adam. The Torah and the prophets sometimes use human terminology. And human beings sometimes repeat themselves. So sometimes the Torah does too. Now, we have to know that this answer is what we call a dochak, an answer that the Gemara gives when it's in a tight spot. Usually everyone agrees you try to derive things from the words, and especially from double terminology. But sometimes, if you can't derive anything, we say, Dibera Torah kilshom bnei adam, the Torah sometimes talks the way we talk. Yes? What's wrong with that?
Well, since Hashem does think everything for a reason, I don't understand why, like, she would say that if you don't will it, that if you decide that I should have children, that I will simply do this and work around your will.
Why is prayer different? Why is prayer different, or using medication? You know, the Gemara says that they used to know which psukim to whisper when a person would get cut, and the psukim would help heal him. So we don't know which psukim, but if a person would say a certain verse over a cut, somehow that would help it get healed. So we don't do that, but technically, why is this different than any prayer? Meaning you pray or you take medication, we constantly do hishtadlut. So this is a hishtadlus that uses the halacha to her benefit.
Those sort of things are, first of all, like a sign, kind of desire, which shows your how much you want it. A regular prayer is simply a supplication.
It's Could you explain the word supplication? Excuse my ignorance.
It's asking for mercy, and that to ask Hashem that His will be it, that they receive what they feel they need.
The problem is the English word prayer in English means to beg, you know, to you're begging God for something for yourself, whereas the idea of tefillin, the tefillah, is much broader, and it's more praise and Hashem, it's beyond yourself.
Well, I think also that as we will see later tonight in our class in Shmuel, Hannah wasn't asking anything for herself. Meaning, on the one hand, she desperately wanted a child. On the other hand, she was going to dedicate this child to Hashem. Hannah was on a level that's way beyond what we understand. I mean, she was a prophet, one of the seven female prophets. I hear what you're saying.
What strikes me, initially, is that she seems to be holding God to ransom. Listen, you want me to do what I want. I'm going to use your laughter against you, as it were. I'm going to bend it to achieve what I want.
Let's see. And if someone were to say to God, if you do this, then all the wicked people will say they were right. Isn't that also kind of like that? So let's look. What does Moshe say? When God says, I'll destroy Jewish people, Moshe says, then the Egyptians will say, we were right. We said if they leave. God says after the sin of the spies, I'll wipe them out. Moshe says, then the nations are going to say, he could only stand up to one God, the God of the Egyptians. He couldn't stand up to the tens of gods in the land of Israel. Rechel Hashem will come from that.
That's using our limited human logic, using logic to beg to Hashem. There's not a logical conclusion that, by doing this act and drinking the water, that I should be deserving of the baby.
You're saying this isn't, this is using, I hear.
It's forcible means. And by the way, another thing I have a question about, why is a woman who's disregarding her husband and being alone with another man, granted sometimes it's not her fault, she didn't ask for it or it didn't happen, but sometimes a woman's like, oh yeah, whatever, I'll be with the man, I didn't do anything in reality, maybe she was good at it. And then she gets this blessing.
So that we have to discuss in the Parsha of Sota, or on Thursday night.
Is it going to be a Thursday night?
Bezrat Hashem, yes. What? Okay. So Hannah says to God, if see you shall see ba'oni amatecha, in the affliction of your maid, uzchartani, and you'll remember me, ve'lo tishkach et amatcha, and you won't forget your maid, v'natata la'amatcha, and you'll give your maid seed among men. Now notice three times she calls herself God's maid. She says, if you'll see the affliction of your maid, you'll remember and you won't forget your maid, and you'll give your maid a child. Three times in one sentence she calls herself God's maid. Amatecha. Amarabi. I don't know who it's Rashi Tevot. I don't know. What Chana was saying is, Gimel Amatot Alalu Lama. Why is it that she used the term God's maid three times? Amra Chana lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. God said before the Holy One, blessed be He. Ribono shel Olam, Master of the World. Shlosha bidkei mita barata ba'isha. You created within the woman three mitzvot that, so to speak, check her for death. There are three times, there are three mitzvot that she's checked when she comes into a point of danger. And then if she didn't live up to those mitzvot correctly, then she dies. But men are also mitzvot, but men have many more mitzvot. Women have three that are their responsibility. What three? Chana, right? Rashi Tevot, Chana. Chala, Nida, Adlakas Aner. That was the sign Yaakov gave Rachel. The three mitzvot that women are responsible for in the house. So, some say that she said there are three things that really stick to a woman at a time of death. The question is it bidke, from the term bodek, to check whether she's lived up to responsibility, or divke, like dovek, to cling to glue to. Ve'eluhem, these are the three mitzvot that a woman's responsible for in the house. Nida chala adlakat aner. Klum avarti al achat men. She used the term "you're made" three times to indicate God. There are three points in Judaism that are the woman's responsibility in the home. In those three points, was I not a faithful maid to you, Hashem? Didn't I live up to my responsibility? She asks Hashem, "V'natata la matcha zera anashim, you'll give your maid a seed among men." My zera anashim, what does it mean, a seed among men? Amar Rav gavra beguvrin. Rav says it means men among great men. B'Shmuel amar zera shim shach shne anashim. Shmuel says it means a child who will anoint two great men. Who are the two great men? Umaninu Shaul veDavid. They anointed the first two kings of Israel, King Saul and King David. Rabbi Yochanan amar, Rabbi Yochanan taught zera sheshakul kishne anashim, a seed that weighs like two great men. Who is that? Her son Shmuel weighs like the two great men in Jewish history, umaninu Moshe v'Aaron. As the verse says, we say it every Shabbos, Moshe v'Aaron b'cho'anav, u'Shmuel b'korei shemo. The verse equates Shmuel with Moshe plus Aaron. That's how great Shmuel was. V'Rabbanan amri, and the rabbi said, zera anashim, zera shemuvla ben anashim, a seed that's swallowed, so to speak, among men. Like Rav Dimi explained, ki ata Rav Dimi amar, lo aroch velo gutz. I don't want him too tall, I don't want him too short. Lo katan, not too small, velo ilim, nor too strong. Lo tzachor velo gichor, I don't want him to be too red, I don't want him to be too white. Lo chacham velo tipesh, I don't want him to be too smart, I don't want him to be a child prodigy, I don't want him to be dumb. Why not? Because when a child is exceptionally smart, people look at him with an ayin hara. So she didn't want people to look badly upon her son. Sometimes parents brag about their kids. They tell other people. It's not a good idea. What do you need people looking at your son that he's a child prodigy? Ani aisha nitzevet imach avaze. When Hannah brought Shmuel up to Eli, the Kohen Gadol, she said, I'm the woman who stood with you here 2 years ago. What does it mean she stood with him? Originally it says he was sitting when she entered Shiloh, when she entered the Mishkan. Amar Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi taught, Mikan shasul leshev total damot shel tefillah. From here we derive that you can't sit within 4 footsteps of where one is praying. She was praying, he came to her, they were standing together. Elanar azeit palalti, I prayed over this child. What's she telling him this whole long speech? This is the child I prayed for. Amar Rabbi Elazar, so Rabbi Elazar taught a fascinating story. They bring up this kid, he's 3 years old, and Shmuel mora halacha b'fnei rabbaya. Shmuel made a grave error. He gave a halachic ruling in front of the chief rabbi of Israel. They come up to Shiloh. His mother's bringing him to learn by Eli, and their halachic question arises. Shmuel answers the question, this kid. Now you're not supposed to answer halachic questions or give new halachic rulings where the chief rabbi is standing. Shneimar, because the verse says, "Veishchatu tapal ve'aviu tanar eleli." They slaughtered the cows that they brought as a sacrifice, and then they brought the kid before Eli. What's the connection? They slaughter a cow, so they bring the kid before Eli. Mishum de veishchatu tapal ve'aviu tanar eleli. Just because they slaughtered a cow, they brought the child to Eli. Ela, but rather, amalein Eli. Eli said, you've brought the sacrifice, kiru kohen leitu v'lishchot, call a kohen to slaughter your sacrifice. Chazanu Shmuel davu madri batach kohen lemishchot. Shmuel saw that they're looking around, where's there a kohen who could slaughter? Amar lehu, lama lechu laaduri batach kohen lemishchot shchita kshera bazar. Shmuel said, why are you looking for a kohen? You don't need a kohen to slaughter. Anyone could slaughter the animal. Even a Jew who's not a kohen can slaughter an animal. You only need a kohen after the slaughtering. Start the process. Aitu lekameid Eli. They brought the child before Eli. They said, this child says we don't have to wait for a kohen to do the slaughtering. Amar le min alacha. Eli looks at the 3-year-old and says, how do you know that? Amar le nikti v'shachat kohen. Does the verse say the kohen should slaughter? It says the kohanim are responsible from the time that there's the catching of the blood and bringing it before the altar. Doesn't say you need a kohen for the first step of slaughtering. He said it says the kohen receives the blood. Doesn't say a kohen has to be the one to slaughter. Amale, so Eli said, gee, Meimar Shapir Kamet. You said good. It's a good thought what you said. Mi umorah alacha bifnei rabchat. But you gave halachic ruling before the teacher in this place. I'm the teacher here. You gave halachic ruling where I'm standing. V'chol amorah alacha bifnei rabo chayav mita. And if someone gives halachic ruling in front of his Rebbe, he's supposed to get the death penalty. So, I'm sorry, son. You're right. But you had no right to say it. And now you're supposed to get the death penalty. And that's where we'll pick up next week. It's time for our Arvit. You know, I'd love to...